Welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Saturday edition. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It's wonderful to have you here on September 23rd, 2006. Of course, we do interviews with people when they are available and when we can find the right connection to make with them. And today's no exception to that. We have a wonderful interview coming up here with Dennis Morisseau. He is from Vermont. He is a veteran, an ex-Army lieutenant, running for Congress, and he's running on the ticket of getting out of this war and impeaching George Bush and Dick Cheney for crimes in the country. But more than that, he's somebody who is also aware of just how deep some of the crimes that have been committed over the last decade or more really are. And so I thought it would be helpful to give him a little publicity on the French Connection, as well as getting a little idea of what his take on things is. First of all, I want to give out the information here. IamTheWitness.com is the website. And, of course, my new email address is smith at IamTheWitness.com. That is smith at IamTheWitness.com. Anyway, let's bring Dennis right up right now. Dennis, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Great to have you here, Dennis. You know, I looked at this ad you had here this announcement you had that you're running for Congress. How long ago did you decide to do this?
Oh, I was trying for the last couple of years to recruit people all over the country, ordinary citizens without respect to party, to run against all incumbents. And I worked at that for about a year and a half and failed. Finally, I decided that for credibility purposes, I damn well ought to be running myself. So on June 22 of 05, I made an announcement and jumped in. And
what's the response been up in Vermont?
Well, it started out very slow. I'm enduring media blackout, I mean entirely at this point. But the internet is getting kind of perky, and I'm starting to get my material out. I'm a known person here because I ran for Congress three times way back in the early 70s and was a somewhat prominent businessman in Burlington after all of that. And then there was the military thing when I refused to go to Vietnam and got court-martialed. So, you know, it's not that I'm an unknown.
Well, let me ask you this. We did discuss earlier, Eric, myself, and you, we discussed the idea that you have the right to be placed on any radio, TV, or newsprint in the United States, in the country, and cannot be censored. And did you know they have to give you the best prevailing rate on all of that? So if you run an ad in the Burlington newspaper, you can speak any truth. And now listen to this. If they refuse to take your ad, the law says they have to turn over the ownership of the newspaper to you.
I love that. You got to email that one to me.
And it's been, and guess
what? That's a good use.
Guess what? It's been upheld.
Okay.
The law has been challenged and upheld.
Give me the details later.
There you go. And now here's the thing. Eric and I, Eric looked into the 9/11 attack, and of course you've read his book, and
yes.
You know, we knew, you knew right away something was rotten in Denmark, and of course now the details of this horrible event are coming out. What do you think is the mood of the Vermonters toward what's going on, and are they awake to these truths, or are they still by and large asleep to what's happening around them?
Well, I think we tend to be a little bit more perky up here than in some places. The poll numbers certainly suggest that Vermonters, more than anyone, maybe bluest of the blue, are in favor of impeachment of this president and the vice president. And I don't know what the hell the poll numbers show vis-a-vis 911 truth issues, compared to the rest of the country.
Mm.
But this is an extremely vibrant, small electorate up here. And it would not surprise me.
Well, but you know, we've also found it to be a hotbed of controllers and there too.
Oh, yeah.
Liberals have migrated out of New York City that are from a certain political bent. Are also pushing people away from some of the other facts that are really important, I think.
That's true, and I can read between the lines of what you just said.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's factual. I mean, you know, here on the French Connection, we actually talk about the threat to our congressional system through AIPAC and through the B'nai B'rith organization and whatnot, because basically, you know, these people have bought and paid for our Senate and Congress. And I, you know, I'll ask you this question. I know the answer already, but are you going to be taking any donations from AIPAC?
No, I'm taking no.
That was a dumb question, wasn't it?
I'm taking no donations from any corporate or lobbying entities whatsoever.
Well,
zero.
Well, you take a look at who benefited from 9/11 and all the subsequent actions that have been taken, and you know the first nation that comes up is the most favored nation to America. We ship them our money, we ship them our technology, we ship them our weaponry, we ship them our young men, and that country is Israel. Are you familiar with the USS Liberty attack?
Not very. Was that the yellow cake one or?
No. Oh. This was in 1967. The Israelis attempted to murder a shipload of sailors off the coast of Israel because they caught them executing war prisoners from Egypt. They were making them dig their own grave, and the Israelis were shooting them dead in the desert. And this spy ship called the USS Liberty was off the coast in international waters. And the Israelis attacked it and tried to sink it.
I am a little bit familiar with it.
They killed 34 sailors and injured 172.
Okay, look, I need to take a short pause here and say a couple of things to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right? I need to be real clear with you on the Israel issue, and I'm willing to discuss it at some length, and
mm-hmm.
I think you'll find my positions pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say up front, I have a lovely, large bunch of Jewish friends, and I do not wish to insult them or irritate them.
Well, how about showing them the facts?
Beyond what is necessary to do, and some of it's necessary.
Well, how about if we just provided your Jewish friends, and by the way, Dennis, I will let you know this too, we have a whole bunch of Jewish collaborators here at the French Connection.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
And they are fighting like banshees to get these facts out. So I understand the delicacy. We are very aware. I am not an anti-Semite. I am an anti-criminal. And so what I'd like to talk about with you possibly is maybe providing the evidence to the people around you that you do garner so that you can provide them with the facts, and maybe they need to be on board with us as well.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. But,
yeah.
But the first and most important thing that happened to me as a young boy when my mind was beginning to awaken was, of course, what happened to many of us in my generation. We learned finally of the facts of the Holocaust, and it deeply impressed all decent people, including me. And when you do a thing like that, or a nation, or a monster like Hitler, and a quiet people looking on do a thing like that to a people, it is not surprising if that people later get distorted and sort of mimic the same behavior.
Well, are you aware that the financing for the Third Reich came from bankers within the community we're discussing?
I am aware that some of it came from this country.
Yes, it came from Harriman, but Harriman was under orders, and we have the documentation from a man named Max Warburg and Rothschild, and we know this because we've got the documentation for it.
I don't know it, but I'm not denying it.
Yeah. Well, see, there's some information about the reasons for that battle, that war as well. Much of what we've discovered is that they wanted to have the Jews to be exited from Germany over to Palestine, and the best way to do that was to have a pogrom. And of course, the many of these Jewish people did end up as victims, and we know that. But the history behind that was written by the winners. Sadly.
That's true.
And if you take a read of the Vietnam War, you're going to find a lot of the facts, pertinent facts to that period of history are going to be quite distorted as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The Gulf of Tonkin was a complete fake. It was a false flag operation.
Mm-hmm.
Lyndon Johnson did it, and we know that false flag operations have been around a long time. It's the oldest trick in the book. It's nothing new. and governments, including our own, have done such things.
Well, you know, when you found out about 9/11 through Eric's book, you knew right away that that something was really rotten in Denmark. And you know, Jim, Dennis, I'm not trying to pressure you. I mean, you know, we've just gone further with our research than you have. And that's not to say that, you know, that you're right or wrong. What I'm trying to do here maybe is find out how much you do know. And possibly how much we can maybe discuss from your breadth of knowledge, because everybody coming to this stuff is a little bit different on the path to these facts. And not everybody arrives at the truth from the same road.
That's right. Or at the same time.
At the same time. And I understand that clearly. And that is certainly my approach to speaking with you today. I do want to, however, not to gloss over where the power brokering is going on, because you and I both know that APEC has had such an influence on your congressmen that are presently in office, that they pretty much vote blindly to whatever whatever goes on in that Middle East.
Well,
and we've got young men dying right now over there on behalf of some real terrible criminals, it seems to me.
I think the two gentlemen, the professors from the University of Chicago, where I also spent some time, and Harvard.
Yeah.
Their names escape me, but they put their study, APEC study, out about, I would say, 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And it was one of those studies I have not been able to read, but I have read a lot about it. And clearly, they're saying what a number of us have been saying, and more now, the power of APEC among lobbyists, all of whom are powerful, the power of APEC is very, very, very prominent.
Well, actually, what they did say, it is the paramount power.
Oh, I think that's probably correct.
Yeah, and when we take a look at this, you know, we can't forget the influence in our press. And, you know, had the press been a real free press, we would have had an investigation on 9/11 that would have actually, exposed what happened long ago.
Yes.
And we also know that the press is being controlled by similar elements and similar groups.
Well, I wonder who the groups are really, but it is perfectly obvious that the U.S. press, the U.S. media, and media conglomerates are sure as hell controlled by somebody and something that doesn't want the truth out.
Well, you know, it's not just the American press, Dennis, because that's the same lies are being spread here in Europe as well. So, I mean, it's certainly not George Bush pulling those strings, because he can't get into the copy room in Paris or the copy room in Berlin and write the stories. These stories are being controlled by a power greater than any president of the United States. That's for sure.
Well, I often ask rhetorically the question here when I'm speaking with people and say, look, I was in business once and I learned to ask myself, what as a businessman would I do if I had a certain problem? And then I say, suppose you are the head of the CIA and you have to accomplish at least two things that the CIA now does, of course. One is you need to put your people in the place where they can get the biggest, the deepest and widest flow of information possible. And, by the way, you have an unlimited budget. And secondly, after that, you have an ops budget. You have to, the goal is to weaponize information, withhold some, fabricate others, weaponize information. Now, if you have those two tasks to do, and you have an unlimited budget where you can have people place them wherever you want or supplement their incomes wherever they are, where do you put your people? And the answer is in the media. In the media.
Well, but see, does the French secret police, the DSTA, and the DST here in France, they are not part of the CIA. So why are they on the same story page as the CIA? Why is the MI6 on the same page?
I don't know that.
Hmm.
I do not know.
Hmm. Well, the French connection.
You wanted to test the limits of my knowledge. You met one right
well,
there.
This is just it's not the limits. It's basically where we can go with this conversation is basically what the goal is. So now you've been working out of Burlington. Are you working out of? I mean, do you have organizational offices throughout the state, or are you basically doing this from your home?
Doing it from my home. My group is growing slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Support group. growing slowly, but it is growing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not where I want to be, but we're working at it.
Well, the
getting on the ballot with an impeach Bush now ballot line is quite a coup. And in this state, that's going to cause some real action very soon.
Well, you know, the law that says you can put a newspaper ad inside the Burlington newspaper, what is the newspaper called?
The Burlington Free Press. It's a Gannett paper.
Aha. Well, it doesn't matter who owns them. The federal law says they have to uncensor your ad, and it has to go anywhere in that newspaper you can afford to pay. And the fact is, it has to be the lowest price for that page average for the last month, for the last 3 months.
I'm a little bit aware of those provisions, though I've never heard them named before.
Yep.
But I thought they applied only to broadcast media, licensed media.
Nope.
Okay.
They apply to all media. And if they refuse to put the ad up, you can take ownership of their station.
Well, I need to see that because my understanding of the First Amendment suggests that might not extend to newspapers. But go ahead.
Well, it does. It does extend to newspapers.
Okay.
It's all media.
Let me take a look.
Yeah, it's there, actually, and we've been going through this, like I said, with Jim Condit. We actually are going to be running Eric Hupschmidt for president soon.
Good. Good, Eric. Hey, run on my ticket.
Yeah, and what party are you affiliated with, if any?
I'm not affiliated with any party, though recently, up until recently, I was a Republican, but not a Nazi.
Mm.
An Eisenhower Republican, an old-style Republican.
Mm.
My thinking was in Vermont, they probably would be more decent than they are elsewhere, and certainly the voters are, but the Republican leadership here is just as bad as it is everywhere else, so I get the hell out.
Yeah.
So I'm not running under any party label. My party label is impeach Bush now. That's what's going to be printed on the ballot. Do you see? That's a statewide referendum we're going to have.
Yep.
First in the nation.
Well, and can they deny you access to that ballot? Or
finished. All done.
You're
all
on.
Over. Yep. I'm on there.
Beautiful. This is a beautiful thing.
Thing.
Hey, listen, Dennis, now all you need is to get a little war chest and put some of these uncensored ads out.
You're not kidding.
Well,
just real bad.
Look, you know, you're going to get, if you've never been to the French Connections website or to erichofschmidt.net.
No, but I'm
going
to
get
this.
You're going to get an education.
Okay.
And we're very careful. Again, I make this caveat that we're not anti anybody except criminals.
Yeah.
And we go after criminals where we find them. And, you know, when I discussed Zionism before, it wasn't only Jewish Zionists. We've got a group of Christian Zionists in America who are, there's over 35 million of them, who are hoping we have a World War III in the Middle East so they can be, what do they call it, raptured.
Yes.
And, well,
we certainly have some nutty folks, and we certainly have them in quantity, and they certainly cover various racial and religious groups.
Oh yes, they do.
No question about it.
And again, what I reason I'm bringing that up is that we're equal opportunity exposers here. You know.
Good.
And
good.
And so, you know, but here's the next thing I'd like to talk to you about. I mean, you said you've run before.
Yes, ran three times.
Your state is a democratic controlled state, is it not?
Yes. But at that point when I ran before, which was in 1970, right after the court-martial in the military,
where
they tried to seize me or throw me aboard a plane, and I refused, and we beat the court-martial. Right after that, because that got a lot of press, I came back home pretty much exhausted, but ran for Congress, and that was 1970, on the Democratic ticket. That's what I was then.
Mm-hmm.
And just barely lost the nomination. I mean, it was a squeaker, and I was 28 years old, and this radical in what was then said to be a Republican state. Okay.
But
I just barely lost it in a squeaker, and it was because the Democrats did certain things that we don't need to go into here. But you know, the leadership did me in.
Well, you weren't one of the bought and paid for.
That's correct. Never was. Never gonna be.
Well, what we found out, you know, through our investigations is that many of these politicians who get elevated in the ranks of, you know, you go from your local to your state to your federal level.
Yep.
They've been compromised by either embezzlement or by pedophilia or by homosexuality.
Right.
And basically, yeah.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, in other words, you don't get the party money until they have something on you.
Gotcha. Well, they don't have shit on me. And they're never gonna...
obviously, because you're running on a shoestring budget there. Now, your website, I want to make sure that people have your website. You want to give it out for everybody?
Okay, it's two, meaning, like as in 1, 2, 3, 2LT. That means second lieutenant. 2LT,
okay.
Morisseau, good French name.
Mm-hmm.
morisseau.com. That's
mm-hmm.
my website. And it's a little unusual. And a little ragged. But it's not uninteresting.
Well, you know, you're from French-Canadian stock, I'm imagining.
Oh, yes, sure.
Québécois. Est-ce que vous parlez français?
Un petit peu.
Well, c'est une langue très difficile.
Très petit, yeah.
Actually, I don't know if you know this. I didn't mention it. Maybe I'm calling you from France.
I did pick it up when we first chatted before you made the call back.
Well, you know, I'm battling from here because this is where my wife is and my home is. But I have a love of America that has gone on throughout my life, and I had always hoped that America could stand for something honorable, and what I've discovered is quite the opposite, sadly. And you know what's the worst thing, Dennis, is that they are asking young men to go die for dishonorable causes.
Yes, my recommendation is and has been refuse. My recommendation is and has been mutiny. And as you know, or you may not know, but I've got it up on the screen and I'll send it to you. 2 days ago, I wrote Pace and told him that I thought that he and the Joint Chiefs should take Bush and Cheney into custody, arrest them, if they proceed toward an attack on Iran, which they are clearly going to do.
Well, you would presume that Pace wasn't one of their minions.
I'm guessing that. Well, I'll tell you why I'm saying this. And I know that Pace ostensibly has a history of involvement in 911. I've just learned that the other day. But he did something on an interview nationally televised with Rummy a couple months ago that was quite interesting. They were discussing those Marines and killed some people in that family and raped the gals over there.
Yeah.
And the issue of what is a soldier supposed to do under his oath of office. If and when he sees or witnesses unlawful orders or unlawful behavior occurring. And Pace answered first and said he has a duty to intervene.
Mm-hmm.
Magic word. And Rummy said, no. You don't intervene in a situation like that, and that's not what it is, but you certainly got a duty to report it. And Pace turned to him and rolled right over him and said, no, sir, I'm telling you the situation, and under the UCMJ and our oaths of office, there is a duty to intervene, sir. And that's what I'm relying on.
Well, that's the old Hail Mary pass, I'd say,
he did that. Is interesting.
You know, the military, Eric and I have always hoped that people within the mid-ranks of the military would fight back a bit. And, you know, we have seen rumblings, you know. You remember in Vietnam when they would frag their Louis and stuff,
oh, yeah,
you know?
Sure. That's one of the
I'm guessing they're going to stop fragging the Louis again over in Iraq.
I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I will tell you this because I spent some time in the military and was well thought of when I was there, even during the court-martial fight.
Hmm.
My superior officers admitted in sworn testimony that I was one of the best they'd ever seen, and I indeed liked them. I respected them, though we totally disagreed about the war.
Mm-hmm.
And about what our duty was.
Mm-hmm.
But that respect was there. And I learned something about the military that not many people know. One thing you can say about the military is it is not full of money-grubbing sons of bitches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever else you want to think about them, they are selfless to a point that they don't, they're not after money. They're trying to serve something that they believe in. Now, yes, are there twisted people in the military? Of course there are.
Mm-hmm.
More than you'd like.
That's right.
But there are a hell of a lot of real, decent, intelligent patriots in the military.
And now, I think you would agree, given the proper facts, they might act on behalf of the public rather than against our
I believe they
control.
Will.
Yeah.
And I think I'm seeing little bits and pieces of information that suggest that they are going to, and I am encouraging them to. And
yep.
That's where I am, because, you know, when you can't beat somebody with nobody, it's an old political rule. You want to beat something, you want to confront it, you want to push it back, you want to change it, you got to have a hero. You got to have somebody of sufficient stature to stand up and do that.
Mm.
That's what I'm doing running in Vermont, and that's what I'm suggesting may have to happen here nationally. I think the military, our military, a decent force.
Needs a hero.
Needs to step up.
Yep. Well, you know,
and I never thought I would say such a thing in my life.
Well, you know, your state's sister state next to you, I've always loved very much. In fact, it got deemed the freest state in the world, in the country, I mean. Yeah, they actually still half of their state still counts their election ballots by hand.
Half of us do. Better than half. We're only 600,000 people in Vermont, give or take. Maybe 6:30 top.
Well, you know as well as I do, if they get those machines running, you know they're gonna stuff the ballot box.
The machines all across the country are totally programmable. They need to be in the damn landfill.
That's right,
one of them. What's the problem with the old way? You mark the ballot, and you have representatives that hang around after and observe each other do the counting.
Well,
that
you know
works.
What's wrong with them. The controllers can't cheat.
That's right, and they have been.
Yeah,
and they're going to again. They're doing it this time,
yeah.
Right in front of everybody's nose.
Yeah, yeah. What
yeah.
is the matter with
the
American public, though, Dennis? I mean, you would have expected a lot more people to be caring about these issues. And what Eric and myself and Chris Bolin have found is the American public is. You know, a lot of people just turn away from you when you bring these things up. They don't want to hear it.
They're zombified. They're fat and happy, but. Also, underneath that, deeply insecure, and they know damn well that they're surviving in a bubble on the soap film of a bubble, and they're afraid that if they acknowledge the reality of all this caca, that they'll have to do something, and that'll rattle their whole lives. So they get angry. You know, it's kill the messenger. Jesus is his oldest book. In the book, hey, guess what? I've been to Paris. By Jesus, I spent a month there.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, flat out loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a letter or two published in Le Monde way back when.
Okay.
On Disney World when I apologized to the editor in advance that I've written it in English because my French is too poor, and asked him to translate it. But I said that what a travesty it was to have. The Mickey Mouse and all that shit built so close to the City of Light, and that I wanted the French people to understand that there were millions of Americans who were deeply embarrassed by such a thing. and it ran.
Oh, they ran it, yeah.
It
well,
ran.
You know. Yeah. Well, you know, but here's the thing. I was going back to the folks over in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the best chance, I think, in the country of actually, you know, completely reversing these people. They are really militant in New Hampshire. And even, and what's happening now is that people who start standing up for the administration are getting beaten up about the head is what's happening to them.
Can you put some of those names and emails in an attachment to me?
Well, I've been reading about them right along here, and what we've got is the Free State Project is selected New Hampshire for their home. About 30,000 Free Staters, which is trying to go back to the sovereignty of each individual state,
oh, wow.
are have relocated. relocated to New Hampshire. And of course, what's happening now is most of the most militant people in the country are actually finding New Hampshire is a wonderful place to be. And I think the Vermonters have been, you know, they're very similar in their mentality in some ways.
We're very similar, but we're smaller, but we do have probably the most active secessionist group here in the country. And I until recently was on the board called the Second Vermont Republic. And basically we're saying if we can't straighten this damn government, this national government out and straighten politics out entirely, back to a representative model, then we ought to get the hell out. And guess what? Vermont was the first state to join. We were a republic before we joined. And I have seen the documents, the contract between early Vermont leaders and the Congress under which we joined, and we joined conditional, that we could get out anytime we wanted. So, you know, if we can't get it fixed, we'll get the hell out.
And well, I think, you know, they've got a very powerful movement in Hawaii as well for secession as well.
And the Quebecois, we're working with the Quebec Libre people, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, you watch out up there because George Bush will declare you a terrorist, won't he?
Well, if he hasn't done that already, I'd be amazed. But, you know...
Well, you know, Dennis, what you're going to get from this probably is quite a few extra hits on your site. We're going to put up the connection to it. I do want people to take a look at it. I hope you'll read over our information because we've done the research. We've worked hard at it.
I'm going to read it.
Yeah, we're honest brokers for the truth.
I promise you I will read it.
And after, you know, after Eric, you saw Eric's book, Dennis, knew that Eric's an honest guy. I mean,
Straight shooter asks a lot of hard questions and a lot of interesting questions.
Well, you're going to see more on the website that are going to curl your hair if you have any hair to curl.
I do, but it's all white.
Well, you're going to have curly white hair. I guarantee it. Anyway, later on when the stings heat up and you've actually got a little bit more headway here, maybe you can give us an update on how things are going.
I will be happy to do that. When people look at my website, you will not see a PayPal thingy there.
Mm-hmm.
Send us a check.
Yeah,
that's the P.O. Box 177, West Paulette, Vermont 05775. We need the damn
small. Well, get those uncensored ads out there, Dennis. Get those uncensored ads and get this thing rolling. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, if impeach Bush now as a party wins one of the congressional seats, that is going to be a real punch in the eye for these people. And, of course, you and I and everybody would love to see that. So let's give Dennis Morisseau all of the help we possibly can. And I want to thank you, Dennis, for spending some time here with me on the French Connection.
I appreciate very much your call and the time we spent. It was fun.
Thank you, sir, and be well and take care of yourself and go forward and win, will you?
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye now. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dennis Morisseau. He's running for a congressional seat in of the state of Vermont, out of his home out of Burlington. He is he's one of the smaller candidates, but certainly he's already on the ballot. His party name is Impeach Bush Now, which of course is wonderful in itself. Of course, we know the listeners of the French Connection know the larger problems that we all face, and I think Dennis is probably going to do a little bit of reading and be a little bit surprised by what he discovers, but at the same time, we have to take victories wherever we can find them, and Dennis is doing his part, so hopefully you can give his website a visit and read up on the things he's doing up there, but I thought it'd be interesting to actually speak to somebody actually doing something, because these are the kinds of events that are going to make a difference in the end, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Darrell Bradford Smith. I want to thank you all for being here. Bye-bye now. Be well.